Chapter 7, in which Simon outdoes himself and finds an extraordinary new pet. You have to be kidding, Mallory said when Simon explained what he wanted to do. They're going to die if we don't, Simon insisted. The griffin is bleeding. The griffin too? Jared asked. He understood about the cats, but a griffin? How are we going to help that thing? Mallory demanded. We're not fairy veterinarians. We have to try, said Simon just as firmly. Jared owed it to Simon to agree. After all, he had put Simon through a lot. We could get the old tarp from the carriage house. Yeah, Simon chimed in. Then we could drag the griffin back to the house. There's plenty of room. Mallory rolled her eyes. If it lets us, Jared said. Did you see what it did to that goblin? Come on, guys, Simon pleaded. I'm not strong enough to pull it alone. All right, she said, but I'm not standing close to the head. Jared, Simon, and Mallory trooped back to the carriage house. The full moon overhead gave them enough light to navigate the woods, but they were still careful, crossing the stream where it was barely a trickle. At the edge of the lawn, Jared could see that the windows of the main house were lit and that his mother's car was parked in the gravel driveway. Was she making dinner? Had she called the police? Jared wanted to go inside and tell his mom that they were all okay, but he didn't dare. Jared, come on. Simon had opened the door to the carriage house, and Mallory was pulling the tarp from the old car. Hey, look at this. Simon picked up a flashlight from one of the shelves and flicked it on. Luckily, no beam of light spread across the lawn. Batteries are probably dead, Jared said. Stop playing around, Mallory told him. We're trying not to get caught. They dragged the tarp back through the woods. The walk went more slowly, and with a good deal of arguing about the shortest way. Jared couldn't keep from jumping at distant night noises. Even the croaking of frogs sounded ominous. He couldn't help wondering what else was there, hidden in the dark. Maybe something worse than goblins or trolls. He shook his head and reminded himself that no one could possibly be that unlucky in one day. When they finally found the goblin camp again, Jared was surprised to see Hogsqueal sitting by the fire. He was licking bones and burped contentedly when they approached. I guess you're okay, Jared said.
Is that any way to talk to someone who saved your prawn-headed hide?
Jared started to protest. They'd almost gotten killed over the stupid goblin, but Mallory grabbed his arm. Help Simon with the animal, she said. I'll watch the goblin.
I'm not a goblin, Hogsqueal said. I'm a hobgoblin.
Whatever, said Mallory, sitting on a rock. Simon and Jared climbed the trees, letting out all the animals in the cages. Most ran down the nearest branch or sprang for the ground, as afraid of the boys as they were of the goblins. One little kitten crouched in the back of a cage, mewling pitifully. Jared didn't know what to do with it, so he put it in his backpack and kept moving. There was no sign of Tibbs. When Simon saw the kitten, he insisted that they keep it. Jared wished that he meant instead of the griffin. Jared thought that Hogsqueal's eyes softened when he saw the cat, but that might have been from hunger. When the cages were empty, the three siblings and the hobgoblin approached the griffin. It watched them warily, extending its claws. Mallory dropped her end of the tarp. You know, hurt animals sometimes just attack. Sometimes they don't, though, said Simon, walking toward the griffin with open hands. Sometimes they just let you take care of them. I found a rat like that once. It only bit me when it got better.
Only a bunch of chuckleheads would mess with a wounded griffin.
Hogsqueal cracked open another bone and started sucking out the marrow.
You want me to hold that kitten?
Mallory scowled at him. You want to follow your friends to the bottom of the stream? Jared smiled. It was good to have Mallory on their side. That made him think of something. Since you're feeling so generous, how about a little goblin spit for my sister?
It's hobgoblin spit,
Hogsqueal said loftily. Gee, thanks, Mallory said, but I'll pass. No, look, it gives you the sight. And that even makes sense, Jared said. I mean, if fairy bathwater works, then this should too. I can't even begin to express how disgusting those choices are.
Well, if that's how she feels about it.
Hogsqueal was apparently trying to look offended. Jared didn't think he was succeeding at it too well, because he was licking a bone at the same time. Mal, come on, you can't wear a stone strapped to your head all the time. Says you, she replied. Do you even know how long this spit is going to last? Jared hadn't really considered that. He looked at Hogsqueal.
Until someone pokes out your eyes, the fairy said.
Well then, great, Jared said, trying to get back some control of the conversation. Mallory sighed. Fine, fine. She knelt down and removed the monocle. Hogsqueal spit with great relish. Looking up, Jared noticed that Simon had already gone over to the griffin. He was squatting down beside it and whispering. Hello, griffin, Simon was saying in his most soothing voice. I'm not going to hurt you. We're just going to help you get better. Come on, be good. The griffin let out a whine like a kettle's whistle. Simon stroked its feathers lightly. Go ahead and spread out the tarp, Simon whispered. The griffin raised itself slightly, opening its beak, but Simon's petting seemed to relax it. It put its head back down on the asphalt. They unrolled the tarp behind it. Simon knelt down by its head, talking softly with cooing words. The griffin appeared to be listening, ruffling its feathers as though Simon's whispers might tickle. Mallory crept up to one side of it and gently took hold of its front paws, and Jared took hold of the back. 1, 2, 3, they said together softly, then rolled the griffin onto the tarp. It squawked and flailed its legs, but by that time it was on the canvas. Then they lifted it as much as they could and began the arduous process of dragging the griffin to the carriage house. It was lighter than Jared expected. Simon suggested that it might have hollow bones like a bird.
So long, chitterblains,
Hogsqueal called after them. See you around, Jared called back. He almost wished the hobgoblin was coming with them. Mallory rolled her eyes. The griffin did not enjoy its trip. They couldn't lift it up too far, so it got dragged over bumps and bushes a lot. It screeched and squawked and fluttered its good wing. They had to stop and wait for Simon to calm it down, and then started dragging it again. It seemed to take forever to get the griffin back home. Once at the carriage house, they had to open the double doors in the back and haul the griffin into one of the horse stalls. It settled in some of the old straw. Simon knelt down to clean the griffin's wounds as well as he could by moonlight and with only water from the hose. Jared got a bucket and filled it for the griffin to drink. It gulped gratefully. Even Mallory pitched in, finding a moth-eaten blanket to drape over the animal. It almost looked tame, bandaged and sleepy in the carriage house. Even though Jared thought it was crazy to bring the griffin back there, he had to admit that he was starting to have a little affection for it. More than he had for Hogsqueal, at any rate. By the time Jared, Simon, and Mallory limped into the house, it was very late. Mallory was still damp from her fall into the stream, and Simon's clothes were scratched nearly to tatters. Jared had grass stains on his pants and scraped elbows from his chase through the woods. But they still had the book and the eyepiece, and Simon was carrying a kitten the color of butterscotch toffee, and all of them were still alive. From where Jared stood, those things counted as huge successes. Their mother was on the phone when they came in. Her face was blotchy with tears. They're here! She hung up the phone and stared at them for a moment. Where were you? It is 1 o'clock in the morning! She pointed her finger at Mallory. How could you be so irresponsible? Mallory looked over at Jared. Simon, on his other side, looked at him too and clutched the cat to his chest. It suddenly occurred to Jared that they were waiting for him to come up with an excuse. There was a cat in a tree? Jared started. Simon gave him an encouraging smile. That cat! Jared indicated the kitten in Simon's arms. And you see, Simon climbed up the tree, but the kitten got scared. It climbed up even farther, and Simon got stuck, and I ran back and got Mallory. And I tried to climb after him, Mallory offered. Right, Jared said. She climbed after him, and then the cat jumped into another tree, and Simon climbed after it, but the branch broke and he fell in a stream. But his clothes aren't wet, their mother said, scowling. Jared means that I fell in the stream, Mallory said. And my shoe fell in the stream, said Simon. Yeah, Jared said. Then Simon caught the cat, but then we had to get them out of the tree without him getting clawed up. It took a while, said Simon. Their mother gave Jared a strange look, but she didn't yell. You three are grounded for the rest of the month. No playing outside and no more excuses. Jared opened his mouth to argue, but he couldn't think of a single thing to say. As the three of them trooped up the stairs, Jared said, I'm sorry. I guess that was a pretty pathetic excuse. Mallory shook her head. There wasn't much you could say. You couldn't explain what really happened. Where did those goblins come from? Jared asked. We never even found out what they wanted. The guide, Simon said. That's what I started to tell you before. They thought I had it. But how? How could they know that we found it? You don't think that Thimbletack would have told them, do you? Mallory asked. Jared shook his head. He didn't want us to mess with the book in the first place. Mallory sighed. Then how? What if someone was watching the house, waiting for us to find the book? Someone or something, Simon added worriedly. But why? Jared asked a little louder than he intended. What's so important about the book? I mean, could those goblins even read? Simon shrugged. They didn't really say why. They just wanted it. Thimbletack was right. Jared opened the door to the room he shared with his twin. Simon's bed was neatly made, the sheets pulled back and the pillow plumped. But Jared's bed was ruined. The mattress hung from the frame, strewn with feathers and stuffing. The sheets had been ripped to ribbons. Thimbletack, said Jared. I told you, said Mallory. You should never have grabbed that stone.